is 1 minute before two, so we're just about ready to get started. Welcome back to Brother Jeff and Alan Wong. So it's good to see you back safely again. We have a lot of people away still. So Lloyd has gone to the East Coast, and we have people in China and wherever else everybody is. So I had an email from Brother Yen Fai earlier today. So he's doing well. Still in China, and said they were leaving for Singapore shortly. So, you know, they were having a very enjoyable time there. So I'm sure they will share with us, or if you have questions, you can ask them after they come back. So a lot of things happening there. So, but it's good to be here in the house of the Lord again today. So at this time then, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee we can meet with Thee this afternoon to continue our study in the book of Genesis. We pray, Father, for Thy continued leading, for Thy blessing. Grant us understanding, Lord, in Thy word. May we also be able to apply it to our own lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in chapter 24, where, of course, we have the well-known passage of Abraham's servant going out to find a wife for Isaac. And as we started with that chapter last week, I mentioned that some sections we'll be able to throw quite fast. There's a lot of repetition, in a sense, in this chapter, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on that. But because this is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, we can't help it if we have to take more than 1 week to do it. So we will not be able to finish this chapter today, but we'll see how long it takes. Probably finish that next week. Last week, as we looked at it, we did get to the point of point number three, where he meets Rebecca at the well, verses 15 through 28. And as I mentioned at the conclusion of last week's Bible study, Abraham's servant may have thought that it would take a while before there would come an answer to his prayer. But then I reminded you of Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And then also I mentioned the reference in Matthew 6:8. For Jesus says, your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So since our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of before we ask him, and he knows that we're going to ask, he will often build already the answer into the universe, you know, so that the answer may come, you know, much quicker than we expect. And that, of course, is what happened here. I mentioned two examples that I have seen where people, and especially this happened during my study days, where classmates would say, can you please pray with me that the Lord will provide money so I can pay my tuition? And we would be praying, and the next day there would be a letter in the mail with the money that they needed. But obviously the letter had been posted a few days before, so that the answer was already on the way. You know, before even the prayer there. Now, the person may have prayed by himself, but at least didn't share it till, you know, the night before the letter came in. But you see, God knows what we have need of before we ask him. And so here, while he was still praying, we're told, you know, the answer came. All right, in verse 15, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out. So we see Rebecca coming. And we might say also, before there was any possibility of being distracted by other girls coming to the well, you know, if there were three or four girls, you know, which one, you know, should I ask? You know, the prayer that he prayed, you know, Lord, if I ask the girl for some water, that she'll say, sure, I'll be happy to give you some water. I'll feed your camel, or I'll give your camels to drink also. you know, there's three or four girls, and which one, you know, is going to be it? So before anything like that could happen, Rebecca arrives ready to draw water. So when the servant then saw her coming, immediately after he had finished his prayer, because he would be praying, so he probably wouldn't even have noticed he was coming till he finished his prayer and then opened his eyes, and there she is. You know, so his heart must have been thrilled. You know, here's a girl already. You know, and we're told she was very fair to look upon in verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man know her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. So here, he's been praying about a girl to come or a young lady to come. Here, young lady has already arrived there. She's very beautiful. Fair to look upon means that she was beautiful. You know, and so the servant then, and you know, you see this actually a couple times in this particular chapter, and you see it in other portions in Scripture as well. But the servant ran to meet her, we're told in verse 17. And later on you'll see the running again, you know, mentioned. And you think also in Acts chapter 8, when you have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, that accounts there, where the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, goes to the Holy Land, and he gets the scroll of Isaiah, he's sitting in his chariot reading out loud, and here the Lord says, Philip, go there. And Philip obeys, and as he is there, the chariot comes by. Go join yourself to the chariot. And he runs to the chariot. And then that he hears the Ethiopian reading from the book of Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? No, how can I except somebody explains it to me? All right, I'll explain it to you. And he comes to believe in the Lord at that time. But you know, there's a running. And here also we see the servant running to meet there. So he ran, and he ran to apply the test that he proposed to the Lord. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted. She didn't dilly-dally, but she was also in a hurry. She hasted. So it's interesting to see that. The one runs, the other one hastes. You know, you see clearly here the working of the Lord in this whole incident. And it's one thing you see again and again, you know, the Lord's leading in this incident. So drink, my Lord, and she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And it's then that she offers in verse 19, when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Remember, we're told there were 10 camels. And, you know, a thirsty camel can drink up to 200 liters of water in one time. So if, you know, we don't know whether they were all at the thirstiest point in their life or not, but it could be up to 2,000 liters of water. So how many trips did she have to make to fill the trough with water? But this was a big job for her, so she had a big job on her hand, but she did. And it is at this point, of course, that Eliezer does not know who she is. Keep that in mind, you know, because he held his peace, we're told. And the men, verse 21, and the men wondering at her held his peace. So he just kept quiet. He didn't say anything. He doesn't know who she is. All he knows is that this is the first girl that came to the well, and she did exactly what he had prayed. Can you give me a drink? Sure, I'd be happy to give you a drink. And tell you what, I'll give your camels to drink also. So he's wondering here. whether the Lord hath made his journey prosperous or not. So that's the last part of verse 21 there. You know, so he's saying, Lord, is this the answer already? So quickly? The first girl that comes in, is that the one? You know, sometimes we say the first one cannot be last. It must be two or three before we have the right one. But, you know, here's the immediate answer. So, he's looking for a girl that has the faith. Alright? And so, is this the one? Well, in appreciation for her service, it came to pass that the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. So he gives her some jewelry and appreciation, and he is now ready to ask the important question, who are you? He hasn't asked that yet. So he comes to that now in verse 23. Whose daughter art thou? Tell me. And then he actually asks a second question. I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? So the first question, whose daughter art thou? And so he learns then from her answer in verse 24, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. So at that point then, he knows who she is. Because remember, we had that earlier in the last part of chapter 22. It came to pass after these things, Abraham offering Isaac, that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she has also borne children of thy brother Nahor. And, you know, we have a list there, and one of them is called Bethuel, verse 22, verse 23, and Bethuel begat Rebekah. Alright? So, he would have known that. As being the oldest servant of the house, he would have known what was going on, and he would have known that, however it was told Abraham, we don't know, may have been a passing caravan, but somehow, there is word, here is some news from your family. In other words, no email back in those days, no postal service, you know, so it was only if there was somebody traveling that there might be some news. So there, in chapter 22, we get some news. So Abraham learns about his brother, and the servant would have known that. So as soon now as Rebekah says, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor, he immediately realizes, this is family. So this is where I am supposed to go, you know, because she is a believer. That's the important thing. You know, if there would have been believers where he was in the first place, would have been not necessary to go there, but he had to find a believing wife for Isaac. And so, you know, and notice, by the way, what he does once he finds that out. So he's asking, who are you? You know, and says, well, you know, I'm Bethuel's daughter. To verse 26, there's his immediate reaction. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. So you can see that Eliezer of Damascus also is a true believer. And, you know, you see him praying, Lord, guide me as I go out here. You know, it shows that Abraham also taught his family and his servants. No, he taught them well. So it was not just Abraham that had faith in the true God, but his servants also learned to have faith in God. And they show that faith, a strong faith. You know, because the servant, he prays. You know, you've seen Abraham pray. And so he prays, Lord, show me which girl. And as soon as he finds out, here's the girl, it's related to Abraham, he immediately bows down, bows his head, and begins to worship the Lord. And notice what he says, verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. So very beautiful there. to see how Eliezer gave thanks to God, who had answered the prayer that he prayed, but also at this point he already believed that God has answered Abraham's prayer. Because remember, Abraham also prayed, "Lord, may I find a good wife for Isaac." So we see here, you know, that he worships the Lord, he prays, gives thanks to God, and then the last part of verse 27, "I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So an important thought here, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." We call this an example of the cooperative will of God. There are different aspects to the will of God. You know, there's the decreed will of God. What God decrees will come to pass. You know, the decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. So when God decrees something, it will happen. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So a decree of God. So we have the decreed will of God. But then there are other aspects of the will of God as well. So we might consider the desiderative will of God, what God desires. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's not a decree. Because if it was a decree, then all people, without exception, would be saved. And we know that they're not. So this is referred to as the desiderative will of God. God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But then there's also the permissive will of God, whereby He permits, while He desires all people to be saved, He permits people. You don't want to believe? No? You have that freedom. So there's a permissive will of God. So He wants us to obey Him, to follow Him, to keep His word. But He permits us to go astray, to backslide, you know, these kind of things. So that's the permissive will of God. And there's other aspects as well, but one of them is that cooperative will of God. "I being in the way, the Lord led me." So now if you look at Psalm 37, and verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He orders them. He guides them. You know. And I can remember Reverend Timothy Toe paraphrasing this and saying, not only are the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, but the stops of a good man are also ordered by the Lord. Interesting, you know, play and work there. The stops of a good man. So far, no further. But God controls. God guides. God leads in these many different ways. So here you see that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. So when God leads us, but then, you know, there's that well-known verse in Proverbs, chapter 3. You're all familiar, or most of you be familiar with verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." So He will direct your path. That's what we see. God leading, God guiding, God directing. And that's what we see here. "I being in the way, the Lord led me." But, you know, as you think about that, the Lord leads us along the path, the way we should go. But before He can lead us on the path, lead us along the path, we must be on the path. So that's important if you realize that. You know, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." But He was in the way. He did what God wanted Him to do. He prayed. He followed His master's instructions. You know, so you see that. So He was in the way, the Lord led Him. So those see both parts of there. I being in the way, I did what God wanted me to do, the Lord let me. So that's why we call it the cooperative will of God. So we look to the Lord. Lord, guide me. But then we must be willing to be guided as well. Because there's sometimes people are not willing to do that. You know, God gives clear instructions in His Word, but sometimes people are not willing to follow those words. But the servant here certainly did. Well, there was a second question, of course, that he asked as well, you know, and that is, can I stay at your place? You know, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Now remember again, that is one of these things, because it was not just Eliezer of Damascus. There were the other servants as well. There were the 10 camels. So it was not a question of having just one visitor staying overnight. It would be a group of people staying there, plus all the camels. So this was quite a thing. But immediately she responds. She says, moreover unto him in verse 25, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. So, you know, she doesn't ask her dad first. You know, she volunteers that information. But she can't help but wondering, you know, what the Lord was working in her life already at this point. Because here's the stranger, you know, and we always tell our children, don't accept gifts from strangers. You know, I was taught that when I was growing up, you know, and, you know, we teach our children the same thing, be wary of strangers. But times were different than they are now. And I'm talking about, in my case, you know, more than 60 years ago, that even then it was already a thing. Watch out for strangers. You never know what they may do to you. You know, I was taught when you walk along the road, you know, you walk facing the traffic. So that, you know, you see what is coming, and you don't have the problem of somebody driving along slowly while you're walking, just kind of keeping up with you. So I was always told to walk against the traffic. You know, well, things were different in those days. So this is, you know, but she says, yeah, there's place in my house to stay. And again, you see here the clear evidence of the Lord's leading. But then it is time, of course, for her to go home and to let her father and her brother know what's happening. And here again, verse 28, the damsel ran. All right. Earlier, we saw Eliezer running to meet her. Now, she ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, his name was Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. So Rebekah ran to ask her father, Bethuel, her brother Laban, whether it would be all right for them to stay the night with them. You know, if you see again the Lord's leading there, and it should be noted also that then Eliezer prayed. Now, we had that. All right. Verse 26, the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and he said, you know, so it is clear that when he said this prayer, that he prayed out loud. All right. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. Then he asked, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. But no doubt, Rebekah heard that prayer. And as she heard that prayer, there was one name that, hey, Abraham. So she would have known that Abraham was one of her relatives. All right? So this certainly comes into play. And then she also learned that the man that was there was a servant of Abraham, because he said, my master Abraham. So she learned a number of things very early already about Eliezer of Damascus. She learned that his master was Abraham, so she learned this is family. All right, so again there, the Lord's leading. So she must have sensed somehow that there was something very important about Eliezer's presence there in Nahor, and she was eagerly anticipating, no doubt, what he would tell her family. And so she runs home, and he stays at the well. All right, he doesn't go with her. She runs home. She tells the family what happened. So the damsel ran, told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebecca had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. So she goes home. She says, guess what happened? And look what I got. You know, look at these bracelets. Look at this ring that I got. You know, so they saw that. And immediately Laban's response came to pass. When he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. So Abraham's servant waited by the well while Rebekah went to tell her family, and it would seem that Laban at this point is a senior male member of the family. All right. Now, her father is still living. We know that because Bethuel is mentioned later on in the passage. But Bethuel doesn't act. And the general feeling of the commentators is that at this point, Bethuel is quite elderly. And while he is able to certainly participate in discussions and conversation, he is not able to do the kind of running around that, you know, Laban does, so that the father is not able to run out there to go and welcome Eliezer. They come and stay at our house. And so Laban does this. So Laban, it seems he was the senior male, active male in the family. And there's something else in there as well. You know, later on, we see Laban, of course, again into the picture, especially with his relationship to Jacob. All right? And Laban, it seems, was quite money-minded. All right? So we see that from his dealings with Jacob. You know, and he kept changing the wages, you know, because he felt that Jacob was getting too much and he wasn't getting enough. So there were indications there that Laban was quite money-minded. And so when he saw that his sister had gotten these bracelets and this ring, he said, maybe there's something for me in there as well. You know, that would be the implication there. And so a number of the commentators have actually commented on that, that, you know, he was probably covetous or greedy. So it was not only a question of hospitality that he quickly runs out to the well to meet Eliezer of Damascus. There was no doubt some, you know, personal thinking in there as well. What can I get out of this? So he goes to the well, and he then invites Eliezer of Damascus to come and stay in their home. We see that in verse 31. So he came unto the man. Behold, he stood by the camels at the well. That's Eliezer. And he, Laban, said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared a house and room for thy camels. All right, so I have prepared a house, and there's a place for you to stay, for the others in your party. And not only that, you know, we have space for your camels, prepared a place for them to stay as well. Well, after they came to the house, you know, we're told he ungirded his camels, gave straw and provender for the camels, and then water to wash his feet and the man's feet that were with him. So the first thing they did was to take care of the camels. All right? And that is something that I've learned also from those that like to ride horses. Today we tend to ride horses more probably than camels. You know, unless you go to Broome or someplace like that, where the camels are probably more popular than the horses. But when you're out on a horse ride, you know, and you come back, the first thing you do, you wipe down the horse. You make sure the horse doesn't catch cold. Being hot, you know, then stop running. You got to rub it down and take care of the animal. So here also, the first thing they do is to look after the camels. So, and then also they wash their feet, you know, and water to wash his feet. Well, they've been traveling for some time. They could probably stand a good wash of the feet. Because remember what they wore, their feet were sandals. You know, so they would get quite dusty. They didn't have nice highways like we do today. So, you know, the feet would have been necessary to wash them. So all these things were taken care of, and the family invites him then into the dining area for a meal. All right, verse 33, and there was set meat before him to eat. So, again, after the journey, he probably was hungry, and, you know, and it was also, by the way, customary to leave business till after you finished eating. You know, we eat first. Once we've eaten, then we can talk business. But in this particular case, the servant, even though he may have been hungry, even though the custom was to discuss business after dinner, he said, I've got to let you know right away why I am here. All right? So he says that, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Laban said, speak on. Because they were no doubt also very curious why this Eliezer had come. Whether they had any ideas at this point or not, that he had come for their daughter, you know, for the sister, we don't know. But, you know, somebody comes that far, you know, why have you come? You know, although it may be polite to say, let's eat first, they were also very curious. So he was given a task to do. He said, this is what I must do. Not my personal comfort, not my personal meal, you know, so keep my belly and then I'll talk. No, he said, I must do this first. And then they also curious. So they were willing to postpone dinner till after he had explained. So they told him then to go on, and they expectantly waited for him to speak. So in verse 34, he begins to speak. And from 34 to 48, he is really repeating what we already know. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those verses. But let's read through that passage so that we see, again, refresh our memory in case we've forgotten. All right? So, verse 34. I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and manservants and maidservants and camels and asses or donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him has he given all that he has. Abraham has given all that he has to his son. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, because they are unbelievers. All right, that was the problem. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. Go back to my kindred, my family, because they are believers. So there's the key. And I said unto my master, peradventure, the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred, of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, and thou comest to my kindred. And they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. In other words, if she doesn't want to go, you know, or if there's no daughter, whatever, then you're welcome to come back. And then he goes on about his prayer. And I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, If now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both bring thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord has appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which hath led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. So he completely recounts, you know, the first part of this chapter, and as I mentioned already, there's repetition there, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on this. So, alright. Now, after he had given his testimony then, as clearly, and we might say as persuasively as he knew how, it was time now for a definite decision. Would Rebecca come or not? That would be one question. But the second question also, would her family allow her to go? All right. Now, it's interesting. He never says really anything about marriage. All right. You notice that? So the servant did not even have to ask the actual question as to whether Rebecca would marry Isaac. The fact of God's leading, as they are narrated here and accounted here, they were so clear that the question was self-evident. You know, they all understood what the question was and what, you know, the whole situation there is. And so that brings us then to verses 50 through 60. So he says, verse 49, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So you let me know, you know, can she come or can she not? All right. Well, permission is then granted to Rebecca to become the bride of Isaac, verses 50 through 60 here. So after such a testimony, there could be no doubt, really, that God has left the servant to select Rebecca as Isaac's bride. And so both her father and her brother, both Bethuel and Laban, immediately acknowledged that regardless of their personal feelings of the matter, God had spoken, and they must accept his decision. We see that in verse 50. And Laban and Bethuel answered. So this is the first time we see Bethuel really coming up in this passage here. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. We know this is from God. And as far as they were concerned, Rebecca was free to go. Behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. So they knew exactly what was going on. They were willing to accept God's decision. Rebecca was free to go. And when the consent was given, the last proof of God's leading had been established. We see that, you know, because in verse 52, it came to pass that when Abraham's servants heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. So again, he worships the Lord. Again, he bows to the earth. You know, you see him. You know, this was a godly man, if you look at it. You know, Abraham had given him a task. He arrives. He prays, Lord, guide me. Rebecca comes. He says, Lord, thank you for guiding me here, you know, from my master Abraham. Now here's in the house of Rebecca and Laban, the fool, you know, he's in the house. Again, he worships the Lord. He worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. So he does this again. All right? And incidentally, if Abraham would have been there, Abraham would have no doubt done the same thing. He would have also bowed down and worshiped the Lord for guiding him. So he was Abraham's representative, because he was, you know, there to do what Abraham himself could not do because of Abraham's age. Well, immediately then, the servant goes to his store of the valuables that he has with him, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, in other words, clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. So he's very generous, brought a lot of gifts from Abraham, and he gives them now to Rebekah, but also to her brother Laban, who must have been very happy to get all these things, and then also to her mother. Notice he doesn't give anything to Bethuel, all right? But then he gives it to Bethuel's wife, so that will have to do, all right? But he doesn't say that he gave directly to Bethuel, but he gives to his wife, to give to Rebekah's mother. And so, when all that is finished, all right, now they're finally able to sit down for their dinner. I wonder if the food got cold in the meantime, you know. But now they finally sit down, because it is then, verse 54, they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. In other words, they stayed all night there, and it seems suggested, by the way, that some of them probably didn't sleep very much that night, you know, because a lot of things have happened. Can you imagine here, you know, they're quietly leading their own life, and incidentally, Laban and the family, they were well off too, all right, that's very clear, you know, because Rebecca, when she leaves, is able to take not only her personal nurse, but other maidens as well, as we see. You know, Rebecca arose and her damsels. So in verse 61, so her damsels, plural, are mentioned. So that, you know, there must have been a number of servants. So there would still be servants at home, but Rebecca has her servants. So, so there was a well-to-do family, you know, and, you know, here they are living their life peacefully, you know, happily. And all of a sudden, here comes this man from afar. They've never seen him before, but he comes there with reports from Abraham. Yeah, Abraham, you know, my uncle, my granduncle, you know, one of our relatives. Wow, you mean I have to go there? You know, you can't help but wonder how well they would have slept that night. But anyway, they try to get some sleep, and when they arose in the morning, Eliezer surprised them all, because he wants to leave immediately. So, all right, because in verse 54, they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. So he wants to leave immediately. You know, and, you know, Rebecca's mother and brother, verse 55, her brother and her mother said, you know, they don't want this to happen. They objected. You know, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. So they had willingly agreed that she could go. But so soon? You know, he even had a chance to really, to say goodbye to her almost, you know. It's, and they felt that a minimum of 10 days would be necessary for her to make adequate preparations, for them to adjust also to the idea of Rebecca leaving. She's been there, you know, and now she's going to go. But Well, from their point, we can see that they would be happy if Rebecca stayed for another week, 2 weeks. There's also that the servant had good reasons to go as soon as possible. The Lord has clearly indicated his leaving. Therefore, there should be no delay in following his will. Because he said in verse 56, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way, sent me away, that I may go to my master." So, you know, he refers to the Lord's leaving. And when they hear that, it is then that they say, okay, let's leave the decision to Rebecca. And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." So they called Rebecca and said, "Rebecca, do you want to go?" Verse 58. And they called Rebecca and said to her, "Will thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So she was ready. She was prepared to go. She didn't say, "Well, I'd like to stay a little bit longer, you know, get all my suitcases properly packed, you know, and I'll need a week or so for that." No, she said, "I will go." She recognized also the Lord's leading. You know, and that's one thing that we have to realize. Sometimes when the Lord speaks to us, we are very slow to react, you know. But she was not. This is the Lord's leading. The servant said, "God has led me, I must go." She said, "I've seen the Lord's leading, I am ready to go." So we should never, you know, lag behind in that sense. It's also, of course, wrong to run ahead of the Lord's leading. Sometimes people do that too. So you've got to find a balance there. It's wrong to run ahead of the Lord's leading, but it's also wrong to lag behind. And so she believes this is the Lord's leading. She said, "I am ready to go. I will go." So they said, "Okay, go." And they sent her away. Rebecca, their sister, her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. So off to go. And then, as I mentioned already, Rebecca also had maids to go with her, her damsels that I mentioned in verse 61. And the family then bestows a blessing upon Rebecca, verse 60. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." So they're bestowing a blessing on Rebecca with prayers that she would have many descendants. 1,000 million. That's a lot of people. Alright? That's 1 billion, I think. You know. So they're praying that she will have a lot of descendants. Well, that has come to pass, has it not? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and we go down the line as we look at the Jewish nation today, and as we see how the Messiah also came through that line. Well, let's stop here for today, and then next week we'll go on with the last part of this chapter, verses 61 through 67, where Rebecca meets Isaac and becomes the bride. All right. Okay, let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we could continue our study here in thy word. And Father, as we have seen this especially, we've noticed thy clear leading in this whole incident. And Lord, may we also be willing to follow thy leading, not to run ahead of thee, not to lag behind, but to obey thee and to act. And we should act, as there should be no delay in following thy will. And so, Father, we thank thee for this passage here, as we have seen the truth of the word of God. May we too be reminded of the cooperative will of God, that I, being in the way, O Lord, let me. And so, Father, may we too be led by thee, as we are found on the way of righteousness. Let now our worship service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.